Blog Talk Radio.
And a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
Man, I love following that. Welcome to UCB Radio for April 19, 2017. We're going to be having a St. Louis Cardinals chat with two of Redbird Rant's writers. I am Dr. Michael D. Miles, the co-editor at Redbird Rants, and I am joined tonight by one of our great writers, Tito. And hey, Tito, kick it off for us and give us, if you would, just an introduction of yourself and maybe plug some of your pieces.
Sure, yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Tito. I grew up outside of in Edwardsville, Illinois, just outside of St. Louis, so about 15 miles out there. Some of the pieces that I've been writing recently have been kind of focusing on the Cardinals offense. Like today, I released an article kind of stating that the Cardinals should probably look for an upgrade at third base. And I have three players in mind, and those being Josh Donaldson, Evan Longoria, and Todd Frazier. Other pieces that I've worked on have been the infamous ninth inning call for Chris Maloney and whether or not to send Randall Grichuk home. So there's been some pretty good debate about that. And you guys might have also seen some of my WBC pieces for Team Puerto Rico. I am Puerto Rican, so I'm partially biased. That was a lot of fun to write.
Yeah, I was just actually flipping through your piece about the upgrade at third base. You and I have talked a lot offline about, our frustrations with good old Johnny Peralta. And, would you tell the listeners, just a quick recap, you talk about Donaldson, you talk about Frazier and Longoria. What do you think is the most likely the Cardinals were to go shopping for that?
Out of the three, it's really tough to say because you're really dependent on the teams, like the other teams, on how they're doing in the middle of the season. So if I had to guess out of the three that I kind of chose, I would say the most likely is probably Todd Frazier, because you already know the White Sox are not going to be good this year. They're still in a rebuild mode. And frankly, he's the cheapest option for the Cardinals, and I think that's kind of the MO of John Mozeliak. He is, doesn't necessarily give up a lot of prospects or doesn't like to. So if I had to pick on which he would do, it would more than likely be Todd Frazier. In the article, though, I state that you might as well go after Evan Longoria while you can. He's only 31 years old. He's got a couple more years on his contract. It's not that expensive. And plus, he's a great hitter. I mean, today he's like, I think, 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs. That's more runs than the Cardinals have scored in the last 3 games, over the last 3 games against the Pirates. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to kind of realize, hey, are we in a win-now mentality or are we going longevity? And right now, the indication is longevity.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I love that you mentioned Donaldson because I think if the Blue Jays continue to squander, that'd be an interesting name to go after.
Yeah, I mean, he's an MVP, an MVP candidate every single year. So there's no reason why the Cardinals shouldn't go after him. And he's not that old either. I think he's 31 himself. But he's got good numbers too. And it was really odd because when I was looking at the numbers, he's very similar to how Stephen Piscotty is. Stephen Piscotty's numbers are better out of the second spot in the order. And so are Donaldson's, but Donaldson has been hitting third more frequently. So it would be interesting to see if the Cardinals considered him and where exactly they would want to put him, because he could be your three hitter or your fourth hitter. And, you know, I've been kind of vocal about potentially changing the lineup a little bit with Matt Carpenter. You know, he's not a prototypical three hitter. And I think the Cardinals are, frankly, kind of suffering because of that. You have to remember he's been hitting out of the leadoff spot for, you know, the last 3 years. You know, it just doesn't happen over time. I mean, you're either a three hitter or you're not. And Matt Carpenter, you know, he's probably the Cardinals' best hitter, but he's just not your prototypical three hitter. And Stephen Piscotty isn't a prototypical four hitter either. I mean, the guy hits more line drives than fly balls. I mean, he's got good power to all fields, but realistically, if it were me, I like Stephen Piscotty in the second hole in front of Matt Carpenter because of his the doubles ability.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that because there was another article that we published just this week that had to do with moving Aledmys down to the four spot. And although he hasn't been hitting recently, you know, the article really presents an interesting take on it. Did you get a chance to catch that one?
Yeah, I did. And the one thing that I would say about Aledmys is that his build, his speed is useful in scenarios like as a fifth and sixth hitter, in my opinion, if you're going to go that way. Because if you decide to move Stephen Piscotty around or Matt Carpenter around, you are going to have to move a Diaz around. There's just no way around it. So I like it just to try something new because he's been getting a lot of opportunities with RBIs and has the power. But at the same time, I also think that he could serve better in a lower position where our four or five hitters may not, you know, get the slack or pick up those RBIs that the Cardinals need.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that the team this season is very interesting because, as you pointed out, we don't have prototypical players necessarily, although I would probably say we probably have a good slosh of leadoff hitters. You know, we have Fowler, we've got Carpenter. I mean, you could make the argument that Colton Wong could well be a leadoff hitter. I mean, Aledmys could be a leadoff hitter when he's really hot. But the prototypical, we've got two prototypical leadoff hitters, but one of them is now hitting in the three hole. You know, as you well pointed out, Piscotty's not really a prototypical four hole hitter. We tried Peralta there for a while. If Peralta were the Peralta of two seasons ago, he would be a really good four hitter. You know, if Grichuk could ever find his consistency at the plate, he could be a really good four hitter. All of these things are big ifs.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, if Grichuk cannot strike out, that would be great. But I mean, it's almost to the point where you have to start him because you have to let him perform. You have to keep him in the game. But, you know, there are people saying, oh, bat him fourth or bat him fifth. Sorry, but you can't justify striking out as much as he does with your fourth and fifth hitters. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. That's why he's batting so low. I mean, he's got great power, but his contact rate, I mean, it's not good. And to see him struggle, you know, Jim Edmonds on the broadcast lately on TV, he's been saying, this kid has all the tools. We know that, but he's not putting it together. And I think that's what frustrates Cardinal fans the most is that people keep building him up, saying, oh, he's got all this great potential. And I'm kind of victim of that, too. I say that sometimes. But there's got to be a point where you say, okay, enough is enough. You have to move on. And, you know, a kid like Harrison Bader just sitting there getting his reps, looking good, I mean, it's going to be hard to ignore him for a really long time. And as sooner or later, you're going to have to pull the trigger on Randall Grichuk. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't taken a long look at his contract lately. I'm going to pull him up as we jump into really what we hope to start talking about tonight, which was, you know, the Cardinals have just finished off today a sweep of the Pirates, their first sweep of the 2017 season, in what up to date has been a very tired, lazy, low-energy season. What are your takeaways from the sweep? How does that make you feel? Are they coming out of the funk?
It is so hard to say because, you know, for the longest time, you see the start of the season, you're like, oh, it's only, you know, it's only 12 games. Oh, it's only 10 games. And then all of a sudden you sweep and you're like, oh, well, that's the greatest thing in the world. You know, we're back, you know what? But, I mean, it's only 3 games, right? So my take on it is that it's a good sign for the Cardinals. Are they out of their funk? I sure hope so, because those first 12 games were just absolutely brutal to watch. And you nail it on the head. It was low energy. I mean, a lot of people, you know, were saying, you know, Molina doesn't look excited, you know, as excited as he was in the World Baseball Classic for Team Puerto Rico. And I couldn't agree more. He missed easy plays that you normally associate Molina making. And then all of a sudden today, he blocks the ball in the dirt, throws out Josh Bell at second base, and everybody's like, now that's the Molina we're talking about. He shows his emotion. It's a good thing for the Cardinals because you're sweeping the team that just swept the Chicago Cubs. And I really do hope that they're out of their funk, because it could be something special here if they're able to reel off a couple more wins in a row.
You know, I do really agree with you. And something that I found very interesting about this 3-game set was really the lineups that hit the field. This was the first time, and we'll get to this piece as well. This will sort of dovetail into it, but this was the time when Mozeliak sat down and had a, you know, sit down and come to Jesus meeting with Matheny prior to the start of the series. And then we saw 3 different lineups. We saw the removal of Peralta. We saw young players like Greg Garcia and Jose Martinez being allowed to play. I mean, these were guys who were bringing energy onto the diamond because they had, quite honestly, nothing to lose and everything to gain. And part of that was afforded by the fact that Carpenter took that weird bounce onto that index fingernail, and Fox Sports Midwest was so kind to us to zoom in and give us all that painful, bloated, bruised fingernail shot. You know, his sitting out for a couple games, I think, helped him as well. It was a nice little break for him, and it allowed Jose to have a chance to go out there and show what he's got. And, I mean, the kid just keeps hitting. And I actually got the chance to interview him during Birds on the Bat here in Memphis. And I was talking to Jose because I watched him all last season play here in Memphis. And he has an entirely new approach at the plate. And I actually went up to him just to ask him very directly, you know, talk to me about what you did during the off season. And he gave me a small hitting clinic, just he and I, him standing there telling me what he does with his hands and what he's discovered in the off season and how he can generate greater fly balls instead of ground balls, just with one little tweak to his bottom hand. And it was just really neat to hear him talk about it, and the fact that he really has changed so much that has gone probably unnoticed to a lot of people because they haven't seen a lot of Jose. But I can tell you the way he looks at the plate this year, and I noticed it during spring training, it's just a completely different Martinez than what we saw last year. So that leads us right into our
person.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, out of all the Cardinals right now, he might be the most surprising player right now for them because of his ability to get on base right now. And he shows up to the park ready to play. You know, a lot of people say that about Greg Garcia. I'm not so high on him as people are, but Jose Martinez just continues to impress, and I hope he gets his opportunities. because he deserves them.
You know, I think what you meant was you're not as high on Greg Garcia as I am. And that's okay. That is okay. I am a big Greg Garcia fan.
I like him. He's a good utility player. But I think he does also have his shortcomings as well in terms of ability to hit for an average. I mean, he needs to be able to do that more often to warrant more of a starting role, in my opinion. But yeah, I guess for tonight's sake, yeah, I'm not as high as you are.
And I'm totally okay with that. I'm a big honk for Greg Garcia. I love scrappy utility players, and I'm a big fan. So that leads us right into, you know, we just sort of hinted at the fact that Mozeliak had some comments that he made at the beginning of the week. And I hope you caught those. I did write an article about them that tried to recapture them. It was a real quick little article I just threw up to capture those news pieces. But he said some interesting things. I mean, the first thing is that he talked about a very short leash on Peralta. And apparently that leash is really short, that Peralta hasn't been allowed off the porch, if we'll continue the metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, in one of my articles, I talk about calling up Paul DeJong, and I pretty much say, you know, this guy, he's so predictable at the plate. All you have to do is throw sliders down and away. He can't hit it. I mean, it's unbelievable that he can't hit it, but he just really, he can't. And if you aren't a slider pitcher, and if you can't throw a slider down and away, jam him. I mean, that's what they did to Matt Holliday. That's what they're trying to do to Stephen Piscotty. But that's all you really have to do is mix up those pitches, and you're going to get a strikeout or a ground out, more than likely. And not to mention that Peralta's defense, I mean, that play in Washington, I mean, it drove me insane. I mean, you'd think a normal third baseman makes that play and probably does make that play. But his inability to get to the ball shielded Aledmys Diaz, and Diaz made an error. And, you know, a couple seconds later, it's two runs on the board for the Nationals. And you're thinking, what are you doing? I mean, it's hard to watch somebody like Peralta because he was so good 2 years ago for the Cardinals. But, you know, now it's just, you know, it's a question of, does it even matter? Is he even going to see the field anymore with the way that the Cardinals are playing now without him? I mean, it's certainly a viable question. Again, that's mainly why I even wrote the article of, should they upgrade at third base? To be honest, I'm not even that high on Jed Jerko myself. Jed is a .243 career hitter. That's not that good. That isn't good. And, you know, if you look at his stats last year, he had 30 home runs and 96 hits in the entire year. So 30 of his hits were home runs. And, you know, people are like, well, play him more. I can't justify that either. I really can't.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm not that high on Jerko either. I like him, but I certainly see him as a decent enough backup, but not somebody I want to stick out there every day. Now, having said that, you talk about how it has become a little painful to watch Peralta, and I have to tell you it was incredibly painful, and I think you agree, watching Matt Adams out left field. I equated it oftentimes to the confused Chris Duncan look that we saw out there for a couple of seasons. It was just unbearable, and I'm glad to see that Mozeliak says that experiment has come to an end.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play outfield in high school ball, and, you know, if you're a career first baseman or a career anything else, and then try to play at a high level, a different position, more often than not, you're going to fail. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. I mean, there was, you know, the first series, that ball that was hit over his head and he kind of did a belly flop. You're kind of thinking to yourself, like, you know, you're wondering, you know, if Randall Grichuk makes that play or if any other, you know, competent outfielder, Jose Martinez, makes that play. And, you know, they talk about getting his bat in the lineup. The guy was batting like what, 183? No, that's just a sorry excuse for somebody that's looking to play the matchup of a right-hander facing a left-handed hitter, which, you know, that's all great and all, and sometimes it looks good and makes you look like the best manager in the world, but that's all Matheny can think about is these matchups, and it just blows my mind. It blew my mind to see him out there. I get it that he's 30 pounds lighter, but 30 pounds lighter doesn't mean you're a better defender at all.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that about Matheny. I wanted to bring us to him anyway, but I've said this a couple times. I think Matheny does a fine job planning for the game prior to the game. I think he does a fine job with matchups. I think he does a fine job, like a catcher would do, in making the game plan. I think where he suffers is his inability to make decisions and changes on the fly. And so as things happen in the game, when the broadcast catches him in the dugout and he's trying to do his best Tony La Russa face, you know, that great poker face, what I see more than a poker face is someone who is sitting there very confused and not thinking four or five steps ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and the most noticeable aspect of it is his bullpen management. That is where he struggles the most. And, you know, my dad and I go over this so many times, is that he just can't manage a bullpen. And, I mean, look at Matt Bowman. You know, a lot of people are saying, like, I hope his arm is still there by the time the All-Star break comes around, and I can't agree more. I mean, I don't want to see Jonathan Broxton pitch, but if he's on the roster and he's available to pitch to at least get an out or two, you have to be able to take that chance. And it just – the bullpen management of – Matheny's bullpen management is the most questionable thing to me. I don't question the lineup so much because none of our hitters were hitting at all and aren't really hitting at all either. So I don't question the lineup as much. The positions, yes, but you know that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, his inability to make in-game decisions, it really hurts the Cardinals. And I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but O is starting to scare me. I mean, I feel like we're reliving Rosenthal from last year. Just now, O is the closer. Do you get that feeling?
I do, and I think even in watching last night's game, you know, O was being squeezed by that umpire. There were some questionable calls, but his material this year doesn't have the consistency that we saw last year.
Yeah,
and
they made an interesting point on the broadcast yesterday. They said, okay, well, maybe it's due to now people are more familiar with O. And, you know, that's probably some of it. I mean, once you play a full season, people are going to know what you have. So, you know, a majority of your pitches are sliders away. You know, they're going to lay off some of those pitches. And, yeah, he might have been getting squeezed and everything. But, I mean, it's getting to the point where you have to take a look and say, okay, if O is going to consistently give up a run when the Cardinals can only score 1 to 2 runs a game, you have to be able to go to somebody else and say, hey, I need you to get the ball. I need you to get this game over. No runs allowed. Fortunately, Rosenthal was able to do that, you know, today. But you have to wonder, you know, is something wrong with O, or is if his stuff just isn't as good as last year?
Yeah, and I'm glad that Rosenthal does seem to be showing a resurgence, if you will. That's going to help, and that's going to be necessary. I think we'll fare okay with those. I think they're going to both be okay. I think O is going to be fine. I think Rosenthal is going to be fine. I think they're going to flip-flop through the season. We'll see Rosie set up for O, and then maybe there's some time that O can set up for Rosenthal. I think there may even be some time when Brett Cecil gets his act together and he can start to set up for either one of them. You know, I see that happening. You know, it's that interesting transition into the Cardinals way that oftentimes pitchers have a tough time with. I mean, certainly Mike Leake did for a while. And I think weren't you saying to me earlier that Mike Leake is your team MVP through the current date?
Oh yeah. I mean, he has to be. I mean, 21.1 innings, 2 earned runs over that time frame. I mean, compared to last year and how his pitching performances were, this is a complete 180. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And he has been the most impressive pitcher from the Cardinals group, in my opinion. And it's nice to see him, you know, live up to the contract a little bit here, on at least in the early portion of the season. But he just looks like a different pitcher. He's getting his stuff across the plate. It looks good. He's got good movement on his pitches, and that's what he's known for, is his ability to pitch to contact, get, you know, ground ball outs. And I think the other day he had, like, I want to say 18 or 19 ground ball outs. I mean, that's phenomenal. And, you know, his pitch counts are consistently low. I mean, he had, you know, one, I think his first start, he went 8 innings and had only 70 pitches going into the 8th inning. I mean, you really can't ask for a better start from Mike Leake, and he's just been that impressive. And if the Cardinals are going to continue to win, they're going to need pitching performances across the board, and that includes Lance Lynn. That includes Michael Wacha, who did a fine job today. But really, the most important at this point in the season, I mean, you have to look at Adam Wainwright and wonder, hey, when are you going to turn it on, man? I mean, you keep saying, oh, I'm there, but your performances aren't saying that. I mean, again, it's a matter of if Wainwright is going to give up 3 or 4 earned runs at a time and the Cardinals can't score more than that, I mean, you're already crippling yourself at the start of the game. So Wainwright has to do better. That's just a simple fact.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Wainwright, because I'll tell you, Wainwright, his pitching is something that makes me drink. And I wanted us to close out on that because I know that we share some messages back and forth. You know, my favorite is to have a good gin and club soda with some fresh lime in it. And so I would love, we've got about a minute left, I'd love for you to share with us, you know, when Wainwright's not hitting those spots, what is it that you use to get through those tough times?
Tough times call for whiskey. that's what they call for, whiskey Sprite or whiskey Coke. It's just we were saying the other day, whenever we got into some trouble in the 9th inning, I said, uh-oh, I might need to break out the whiskey a little sooner than I thought. Whiskey Sprite is where I go. I'm a particular fan of Evan Williams myself, so it's a nice, easy drink, and it goes down smooth.
I love it. Well, Tito, thanks so much for joining me tonight. You guys catch us on Twitter. Our handles are there. Catch us at Redbird Rants. Thanks for listening in, and thanks for joining, Tito.
Yes, no problem. Thank you so much. Go Cards.
Got a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2.
And we're out.
Awesome. That was awesome.
That was really great. Oh, I'll have you on again for sure. That was really great. It was a lot of fun, really easy, and great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That was the first time I've ever done a podcast, so that was my pilot run for when we get the actual Redbird Rants one going up.
I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it. These all do really well. We just got really lucky. I was asked to come on to a couple of these last year as just like in your role. And then the blog father contacted me in the off season and he said one of their shows fell out and asked me if I wanted to take it. And I said, yeah. And so he gave me some training on how to host them and set them up. And man, it's not too bad. It's not too shabby.
I think it's awesome. Once we get the Redbird Rants one going up, I'm extremely excited to push that and get our name out there some more.
Well, listen, I'm gonna let you go, but thanks for doing it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me to do so. We'll do it again.
All right, go Cards.
Yep. Have a good one.
See ya.